Those of you that can, we could rise and pray together. Heavenly Father, we are humbled at the opportunities that we again have. And Father, as we are here together this morning, Father, I tremble as I think of all the commitments that we have made already this morning with our lips, Father. And you know, Father, that we truly desire those things. We do in sincerity make those commitments, Father. We desire that you should take our lives, that we would be consecrated wholly to thee. And yet we know, Father, that it is only by your strength and power and by your Spirit, Father, that we will accomplish those things. And so this morning, we are very grateful for the opportunities that we have. I ask for your help here as we look into your word, Father. We pray that you would teach us today things from your law, Father, things from marvelous things from your word, Father. Though they be very simple in nature, Father, they are truth, and we treasure them. Thank you for this opportunity to gather in this way, Father. We pray that you would bless each one. In Jesus' name, amen. May be seated. Well, it's a blessing to be gathered here. Welcome each one. Thank you, brothers, for the thoughts and words that were already shared here this morning. It was a blessing. Brother Barry said I'll be preaching. I'm not so sure about that. My voice will be doing much preaching. It feels kind of weak. But we have some things we'd like to share this morning, so we'll trust the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'd like to get just a thought here. This has been working on 2 Peter chapter 1 pretty heavily over the last year, so hopefully that page isn't wore out of your Bibles yet. Powerful truths here. We're just going to get a thought here. I know we're all very familiar with it. This thought on adding to your faith. Adding to your faith. Let's see, where are we here? Verse 6. Well, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. And to patience, godliness. We'll stop reading there. And turn to James chapter 1 for another verse. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And we'll stop reading there. So, had a thought here. We are told here to add to our faith patience. So that's kind of the burden of the message here this morning. Brother Joseph was speaking to us about being wiser than our enemies, and I don't think it's any surprise to us or any new thought to us that one of the great tactics of the enemy is to simply wear out the saints, simply wear them down, and. In a world where there's, like Brother Barry was sharing, there's not a lot of spiritual encouragement because of the dullness of the spiritual temperature, it's a very discouraging atmosphere. Now, we've experienced very many very encouraging things, and so maybe this doesn't apply so much to all of us here, but we know as we look at the world around us, there is just a lot of discouragement. I mean, it's just high levels of it everywhere. There's just this dullness and this weight and this. Then there's, you know, it gets deeper than that. It goes into depression and deeper levels of discouragement. And then it goes into, the world's solution to that is counseling and medications and things that go with that. And I won't spend a lot of time with all those things, but we're all familiar with that. Probably part of the burden is just, not too long ago, I heard this testimony from, this was an older man. He's someone who had been much used of the Lord, seemed like, but he ran into some things in his life and, difficulties in several different ways, some difficulties. I won't mention them. And he testified how discouraged he had gotten. And he just kind of went down. And another story, something that had happened more recently, a woman that my wife and I had endeavored to minister to some years gone by. Just recently hearing her say that she was again just coming out of a pit of discouragement. And I'm thinking, but your life is good. I mean, she's got spiritual ministry to do. She's got, there's no, it's a good church. Not why? That's just the question. It's like why? Why is this happening? Other people going through very difficult trials, and there's question: will they make it? Are they going to make it? And so I'd like to speak to us about patience. this morning. Add to your faith patience. Now, in saying some of these things, I haven't experienced all the trials that everyone else has, and so it's easy to feel like I'm not qualified to speak on it. Other people have had more trouble than I have, but patience is not based on our own strength. It's not based on how good or strong or big we are. That's not what it's based on. It's based on something that is available to all of us. And so how do we add patience? Maybe all of us would say that we experience some ups and downs. Discouraging days, how many of us would say that we would like to be able to just we'd like to be able to just go through trials and just maintain an even keel and not just go down and then come back up and or is that asking for too much? Is that possible? I'm talking about circumstances and various things beyond our control. So we'll look at some verses here, and then we'd like to share a few thoughts here. I know there's be much more that could be said than what I will be saying this morning, but let's maybe we can stimulate some thought anyway. But patience, the Strong's definition of patience is endurance. It's maybe not the word patient as in we think of being patient with someone, or it does include, I think, long suffering. But there's some other words attached to it it's not just endurance, it says cheerful endurance. Cheerful or hopeful endurance. And so it kind of raises the bar a little bit to this thought of just, we'll just plug through this thing and we'll get through it somehow and it'll work out, you know. So let's look at some other verses here. I'll read a couple and then we will turn to a couple. These are all familiar, so I'm not going to ask you to turn to all of these. I'm just going to read a few here. We're very familiar with Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Hebrews 10:35 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience. He said, ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And it goes on to say that because he that shall come will come, and he will, maybe I should read all of it there, but verse 38 says, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So it becomes a significant matter, this idea of patience and a cheerful endurance, lest we draw back. And drawing back may not be what we mentally picture it to be. It may be a little more simple than that. It may be, I just think that there are people who give up the fight, though they never say it. Though they never come out and say that they have given up the fight, you just sense that there's no longer a fighting happening there. I have one specific instance in mind. Someone who was so years ago was an inspiration to me in a lot of ways. And though he would still profess to be trusting in God, you just sense that his heart he's doing other things. It's not, and it's a grief. Hebrews 6:12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So now maybe if you we'll have a few here that we'll turn to. I'd like to make a note on the one we just read. In James, we had read that. But I'd like to make a note of this. There's three times here where the scripture talks about trials, and it includes the thought of joyfulness. James, it says here, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. When you fall into trials, count it all joy. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1 has a similar thought. First Peter chapter 1 says here, verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, getting the thought here. Maybe I'm going too fast, but getting the thought here of joyfulness in trials. Colossians 1 verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. And so it accents that point of cheerful endurance. of a not just we're going to make it through this somehow, but actually a testimony of cheerfulness, of victory in trials, in difficulties. So how do we add patience? Now I'm going to turn it over to you all. How do we add patience? Can we just come up with it? Can we just muster it up? Can we just put it on? Or how does it work? And so I have a few thoughts here. You probably will have more by the time I'm done. Maybe you have more questions than answers. But when plants are weak, when plants or trees are weak, now you can go put a stake beside them and tie them up. That can help. But it's not the most profitable thing to do. When plants are weak, you need to feed the roots. Weak plants generally are lacking some nutrition. And so this morning, that's a little bit my thought. I'm not an artist, so it won't take too long to figure that out. We'd like to talk about strengthening the roots of patience. Strengthening the roots of patience. Some of this has already been shared this morning. So I've got 5 points here. And I think some of these things are very simple. We talk about them here. But it can be helpful maybe in ministry. Hopefully some of this can be. Maybe some of it can help strengthen us too. But feeding the roots of patience. Patience is a fruit, right? That's what we, long-suffering, at least in Galatians 5, it's a fruit. It's something that, some difficulty happens and you're able to maintain through it and be victorious over it. That doesn't just something you can just muster up at the moment. It's not something you can just, you can maybe somewhat, but usually not. And so the roots, what are the roots? I think these are some of the things that take a lot of people down, and they're very simple. They're not complicated. They're not new. These won't be new thoughts to you. But the first one that I have here is, and we talk about it, it was actually mentioned this morning already, but the expectation of warfare. I believe there's just so much discouragement amongst the churches and amongst Christianity because people are not expecting warfare. They're not expecting it. Somehow that doesn't happen here. It's kind of like, so there's doubts that come, maybe fears that come, and they don't know where it comes from, and so they're discouraged and in trouble. And you know, I was thinking, if I would get shot at in Shelbyville, it would be an utter shock to me. I mean, I wouldn't expect such a thing, at least not in the daytime. I don't know what it's like at night. I guess I don't go there that much. But I just wouldn't expect it. But if I was in the military, and I would be in the Eastern Front of Ukraine, I would be shocked if I didn't get shot at. I would be fully expecting bullets. I would be expecting people around me getting hit. I mean, that's what I think. I've never been in the military, but that's what it seems like it would be like to me. And it seems like... It seems like when there's opposition, Things happen unexpectedly. I just asking myself the question, why is there such a high level of discouragement? I'm not saying here necessarily, but it seems like there's little expectation that there's a war going on, that we are in enemy territory and that we are getting shot at constantly. I think we know that here, but I think we should encourage others. If we are told to put on armor, why would that be? What's it for? What are we expecting? And I think the root of a lot of this discouragement is this simply wrong expectation. It's just wrong expectation. We expect the approval of men, and we get opposition, and then we're discouraged. We expect acceptance, and we get bullets, and down we go, and we expect ease, and we get hardness. Maybe we expect easy victory, and we get stronger temptations, and we're not expecting. Strengthen the roots of patience. I think Peter says that we should put on a mind to suffer. We should, even as Christ has suffered, we should put on that mind. We should think that way, that we are in enemy territory. Those are not new thoughts to you all. Another thought that I had was, I was blessed with these songs, All to Jesus I Surrender, there's some of those thoughts. But I've been blessed in this past week thinking about this, just in my life thinking about this. The second one I have here is by maintaining our connection to God. It is a guarantee to discouragement when we run into trouble, we run into difficulty, and at that time we realize that we are not close to God, and we have to first find our way back to God, and then try to get some help. That's just surely going to discourage us. And I believe that's why many people are discouraged. They're not in a warfare, and they're not walking close to God, and then difficulties come, and then at that point they need God, and it's a painful experience. But I'd like for us to think about something this morning. This was just a blessing to me. Jesus. Now we know in John there, chapter 6, chapter 8 maybe. He was telling the Pharisees there, the Jews, they were asking who he is, and he was making this profession that he is God, and he used these words. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And they took up stones to kill him, because that's one of God's names. Is I am. God had told Moses that I am that I am. And it just blessed me. We serve a present God. The one who is presently God. And all the times that Jesus used that phrase, not in the same context, but I believe it means that. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the water of life. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but He is the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I believe that all of those were referring to that. I am the resurrection and the life. It is easier, and I believe it is very, very much the case in, for many people, it is easier to have faith in the God of the past and the God of the future than it is to presently walk with God. in faith. We believe the stories. We believe what the Bible says about the future. God's going to be in charge of all of that. But to presently walk with God today requires a dying to self, a death to everything about me, to yield to Him, to talk with Him. Presently accessible all the time. No door between. To trust Him. To, as He says, to cast my care on Him. So, where does discouragement fit in that? How does it work? How does this sinking happen? How does this, you know, bottoming out, how does it happen? I'd like for that to just to be a blessing to us today, not a discouragement. But it is not important for us to try to sit around and figure out how much faith we have. Exercise faith. Walk with God. God is present. God is available. God is for us. God is desiring to be with us. Patience. Strengthening the roots of patience. So there's another thing here that I have. Third one here is there's a not understanding, maybe, or maybe we do understand, but we don't want to accept it. Maybe it's because we are not surrendered to it, or I'm not sure what all the reasons are, but not understanding the trial of faith. Not understanding the purpose of trials. Not understanding what God is desiring to do in difficulties. Maybe if we don't understand that, you know, I think of a tree. If you want a weak tree, keep stakes around it all its life and keep it tied so the wind can never strain it. Tree will be very weak. If you ever take the stakes off, it'll blow over because it's the strain that causes it to root. It's the strain, the wind blowing against it that causes it to root. Trees in the woods are not many times not rooted as well as a tree in the open. But faith becomes valid when it is tested. That's the faith. That's what validates it. If faith is never tested, it has what validity does it have? What claim to real faith is there if it is never tested? If it is never brought to a crisis or brought to it doesn't do a lot of good to talk about how much horsepower the truck has if it is never put to use. So let's faith becomes valid when it is tested, but it's also when it grows. Faith can, it's when it probably grows the most is when it is tested. Let's turn to Romans 5. Romans 5. Verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, And patience, experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us, given unto us. Paul says here that we glory in tribulations also, knowing that it does something for us. So I don't know where this finds you this morning, but Paul seemed to be of a faith, of a confidence in God that allowed him to be thankful when difficult things were coming, knowing that it would do something for him. And that doesn't sound like discouragement to me. It doesn't sound like depression or some of these things. 1 Peter 1, we just read this, I'll read it again, says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's not just the purifying of the faith, it is also how that God reveals faith. Many times it's how God reveals faith in this lost world. And I've seen it work like I've seen it work that way. God allowing someone to go through tremendous trials to reveal what faith looks like, and the power of faith and how it works. And as we think about persecution, many times it worked that way. Brother Barry was sharing on that this morning. So number four here, strengthening the roots of patience. Number four here is a failure, discouragement, I believe at times comes from a failure to gird up the loins of our mind. That's from 1 Peter chapter 1. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lust and your ignorance. And I would just say to all of us, maybe young people, but unhealthy thought patterns, just unhealthy thought patterns, whether they be sinful or whether they be just self-focused, or whether self-pity, just all of those things, that they will just take us down. Unhealthy thought patterns. Philippians 4 tells us what to think on things that are lovely and honest, those things. But just an exhortation here, in a world where there is so much coming at our minds, so much coming at us, there's so much pressure coming at us, to cry out for grace, to just rein it in, and to focus on Christ. I don't think there's any other solution to it. We can make some practical choices on what we do with our time, what we read, what we allow to come in. But we don't have the liberty to just sit around and let our minds go. It's a sure path to losing your way with God. We just don't have the liberty to do that. It's not. We have an enemy that is constantly throwing stuff at us. And we're called. Peter says here, gird up the loins of your mind. Not in our own strength, obviously, but pull it together. Do something about it. It won't. Giving in to temptation, obviously, leads to failure and discouragement. That leads to discouragement, obviously there's There's repentance. There's a way back. I don't think we need to stay down. I don't mean any of that. But if we're giving in to temptations regularly, then we should expect a fairly up and down experience. I mean that's just reality. If we're giving in to temptation, and in the same way, if we're giving in to self-focused thinking, I mean, just my ambitions, my goals, my pursuits, my fun, my what I'm going to do, my schedule, my all. It's very obvious. There's interruptions. Things aren't going to go like you planned, and then we're discouraged because it's all about me anyway. And so those are not new thoughts to us here, but I was thinking about being purposeful instead of passive with our minds. Being purposeful. I once had an older man tell me, he was a man who had a brain injury, and it had affected him some, had left some effect on him. He had recovered quite a bit. It still seemed like you could tell some effect, but he once told me it seemed like he had maintained his faith, and that was a blessing. But he once told me, he said, "It's such a blessing to me." He said, "God even tells me how to think." He said, God even tells me just how I should think. And he said, "God tells me to think on these things." And it seemed like that was where he was finding victory. It was a blessing. But I think in this battle for our minds, being purposeful is key. Being proactive is key versus just trying to be defensive and just trying to push off the things that we don't like. Being purposeful, sing, pray, meditate, choose what you're going to meditate on. Communicate. It's a good way to rein in your mind is think about people you can communicate with. Even text message to someone or call someone, sharing with others, communicate. It's a good way to bring your mind in and keep it. Brother Joe Joseph had shared this morning on being thankful. So the last one here, I wasn't planning to go real long here. I didn't know what my voice was going to be able to do here. But the last one here is, maybe goes along with some of the others, but I was thinking about confidence in that providence is divine, and that it is God. And that the things that come my way are providentially allowed by God to come my way. And I think that's significant. We were having a bit of a chuckle this week. The girls had this poem that they were someone that was born in the local town of Greenfield. They had wrote this poem about providence. It's actually a verse of it is on the one building there in Greenfield, painted on the James Whitcomb Riley. But in one verse in this poem, he used this phrase about locking horns with providence, and in other words, rebelling against it. And we were kind of chuckling about that. But the difference would be. I think the difference would be is, and I don't know who he was or what he was all referring to, but for us, providence is not just providence. Providence is not just the karma. It's not just, it works that way and that's how it'll be and you can't do anything about it and that's just how it is and you may as well accept it and be happy about it because that's just how it is. And if you fight against it, you just don't do it. It's not beneficial. Our standard is a little higher than that. Providence is divine. It's God. It's not just chance. It's not just that's how it is. And Do we? I mean, we must believe that. I don't know how we'll make it, except we believe that. And I know that some of you have faced some things recently, in various ways. Some have had emergency hospital runs that you didn't expect, and some have had various other difficulties that have happened, and things are real. God allows things, and they're real. But it makes such a difference. I think it will make such a difference. It does make such a difference. Job never questioned that in his calamity, in his sickness, that God was in control. God had allowed it, and he wasn't going to rebel against that. He maybe did some. He didn't handle it all quite like he should have, but it's pretty amazing how he did handle it. Our standard is higher than that. Our standard is higher than that. Let's turn to Philippians 1:13. Our standard we believe not only are things allowed by God, they are actually, God is actually working out things that we may not understand. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 verse 12. For I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And in many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention and not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I do therein rejoice and will rejoice. That's quite a perspective. Paul says, don't worry about my chains. He said, I am at peace with these, with the bonds. Paul is bound here. He said, in fact, he said, many of the brethren, by seeing my confidence when I am in bonds, are much more bold to go preach now. So the gospel is furthered by this, and so I'm rejoicing. And maybe that seems a little far out to us, but if you walk through trials in a faithful way and are not discouraged, it encourages others to do the same. And it's real. And so adding to our faith patience is no small thing. He said here, yeah, well, it even inspired some to mock him and preach the gospel in mocking. He says, it doesn't make any difference. They're still talking about Jesus, and people are hearing the name of Jesus, and so I'm not going to let that discourage me either. But it reminds me of a story, reminds me of what something that Richard Wurmbrand said, his account of being in prison. The one guard was particularly evil, and would come into their cell, and he would force Richard and his cellmate to get under the bunk, and he'd order them to get under the bunk, and it wasn't big enough for both of them, and so he would yell at them to get under the bunk. And he would beat on anything that was protruding out from under the bunk, mainly their feet. He would stomp on their feet and abuse them horribly. And just mind-boggling. And they came out from under the bunk, and his cellmate, and after they recovered somewhat, his cellmate said, "You cannot believe the inspirations that Jesus gave me while he was beating me." And he began to quote just beautiful thoughts of inspirations of faith and of the Lord, and things that the Lord was doing in his mind as this man is beating him. And they concluded that they would go through that again. They would go through that again for that. It's challenging. They one of them said, "Well, brother, we should pray that he would do that again. If that can be produced through suffering, then we will be willing to suffer." And Romans 8 says that all things work together. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God. They're called according to his purpose. We cannot lose when we trust God. And I share these things as encouragement to my own heart, but all of us, may we add patience to our lives. Maybe, or at least strengthen the roots of it. Maybe in small ways. May God bless you.